You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's you know, we've got a journalist online. Mm. Let's not hold him on any longer. Let's get him up.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, the back page with David Riccio.
Morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Brandy. Good morning, Vossie.
Hello, David. Now, the initials DR, does that qualify you as a doctor? Are you like the hangover? You're not a doctor, but you are a doctor. You're DR, Riccio?
Yeah. Yep. What's the ailment, guys?
Well, it's bone graft. How does the bone stick together? How does it work?
I'll quickly just go to Dr. Google.
Well, we're going to have to go with Chase. He a couple of screws kept the bones together. Which is, we were just talking about Campbell Graham's.
For all time, though? And the injuries. For all time?
Well, I guess.
For all time, you keep the screws in, do you?
Well, I think you do.
Well, there's now those dissolvable screws.
Dissolvable screws?
Yeah. Once the bone grows.
Right.
Over. Mm-hmm. The screws dissolve.
That's incredible, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Incredible. Injuries to players. We've got some, haven't we?
Wow. Wow. It's extraordinary, boys. Just a significant blow for so many of the sides. Already round three of the Premiership, going into round four, and just some of the biggest names in the game, sideline. Some real big blows came late last night with the news that Mitchell Moses has suffered a fractured foot and has gone anywhere between 8 to 12 weeks for the Parramatta Reels. It has huge ramifications, obviously, for the Blue and Golds, but so too the New South Wales State of Origin side, and whether Mitch can be back in time at the earliest date possible to try and put himself back in the frame for that. But more importantly for Parramatta, an Easter Monday clash against the West Tigers. He's gone now. It's understood he suffered it with about 15 minutes remaining last weekend. So pretty brave of Mitch to get through it. But it's a huge blow, guys. There's no two ways of looking at it. Options for the Parramatta Reels. Dejan Arcee has done a job and filled the role previously for Parramatta. But there is a tip that Blaise Talangi, who came through the lower grades as a half, can play on the ball as a running half, could move into that. It's quite extraordinary, could move into that halves position after making his first grade debut last week. So, look, Teamless Tuesday today will finally confirm that, but that's the early mail, guys.
Okay, Ethan Sanders has been getting a mention from a number of our Parramatta fans. Yeah. Any chance Ethan Sanders finds his way into the team?
Yeah, look, there's no denying Ethan Sanders is on a trajectory towards the NRL. And it certainly wouldn't shock me to see him also floated as an option or even named. Situation for Ethan is that, he's obviously in negotiations to sign with Canberra, if not already agreed to terms on a deal there. Whether that goes against him in the belief that if you're not progressing through our footy club, then potentially we'll go another way when it comes to picking an NRL side. So I'm not saying that's the case, but it's certainly happened in the past to a lot of players. So time will tell, guys.
Well, now, on all these injuries, does the Broncos... Is Adam Reynolds a chance to play this? Because I can't tip the Broncos at all. Yeah, so we know Haas is out. We know Walsh is out. Reynolds, would they take any risk with Adam Reynolds? Does he miss out as well?
Yeah, look, Vossi, I will say this. Adam Reynolds, so it's a knee problem for Adam. I think he plays, guys, based on the last 24 hours. He trained yesterday. He got through unscathed. But, you know, look, it was only yesterday. So he probably still has a couple of hurdles to jump. But there were very promising signs from Adam Reynolds as far as training is concerned yesterday. I'm with you, though. Like, if he doesn't play, geez, they're hard to tip. But I'm leaning towards the fact that he plays based on the work that he completed yesterday.
Okay, what about South Sydney? What are you hearing out of South camp, that there will be more changes? Or,
well, Brandy, it's just interesting. Look, yet to be confirmed by South Sydney. There was a little tip around town yesterday that Jai Gray, very talented, half, can play fullback as well, has a high opinion. South Sydney coaching staff do of Jai. They rate him highly to the point where they're in discussions to re-sign Jai Gray, believing that he is almost the future beyond Cody Walker. There was a little tip around town yesterday that Jai could force his way into this 17 against the Canterbury Bulldogs this week. As I said, yet to be confirmed. Now, if that's the case, that leads to a discussion around potential a reshuffle of the South Sydney side again, and Latrell Mitchell's name has come up, potentially Jai paying some fullback, Latrell moving to centre. Again, fascinating team list Tuesday today, guys, because as we know, South Sydney are a club in the hot seat, spotlight is on, and the decisions that, you know, Jason Demetriou makes in relation to this team will be much wanted to see.
Mm. Yeah, fascinating teamless Tuesday. You're right. The coaches sort of scrambling and discussing who's going to fill in for a lot of key players that won't be around this weekend.
Now, David, I'll get you a question without notice. We've been talking about what's happened with the AFLW today with these two players from the Swans, Alexia Hamilton and Paige Shepherd. It comes to light that last December they were charged with possessing cocaine. And we're having this debate this morning. You know, the AFL policy is you don't name them, but here they were in court, so of course the papers will get onto it. I mean, how do you think it would be handled in rugby league? What is the policy there around covering this story? So this morning, and I'm not having a crack, I mean, the Telegraph haven't named the players because that's, well, I don't know why they've been in court, but the Herald has named the players because it was a court order. Is there some process that you guys follow when it comes to rugby league players? If you got onto a story today that a rugby league player, male or female, was charged with possession of drugs, it goes straight to print, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And there have been cases in the past. Yep, absolutely. The sometimes differing circumstances are the fact that within the NRL, players can be served with a breach notice as far as being testing positive for an illicit drug, in this example, cocaine, of which, if it's a first strike only, it's kept in-house, guys. It's kept in-house from a club point of view. And therefore, it doesn't become public. I would argue, guys, and be more than confident in stating this, there'd be players running around in the NRL today with first strikes against their name that we don't even know about.
You're probably right.
You as a journalist, are you under obligation not to name? If the story falls into your lap, are you under obligation, and maybe something, to not name them?
No. I'm not held accountable by any NRL club.
And you're not held accountable by any NRL rules?
No.
Okay.
I'm held accountable by the Daily and Sunday Telegraph, and whether it's a newsworthy story and it's of public interest.
Yeah. Rhino Mike sends a text in. David, I'll just read this the text and the two different ways that the league and the AFL have handled it. Regarding the Swans players caught with cocaine, says Rhino Mike, this has been swept under the carpet by the AFL. In comparison, Rhys Walsh was caught with cocaine. The NRL sanctioned him, fined him $5,000 and gave him a 2-game suspension. He then fronted a press conference and owned up for his actions and took responsibility. The difference in the two codes handling the situation is there for all to see.
Once it becomes a police matter, guys, it's an open and shut case. Like it's,
absolutely.
There's no stopping the story coming out.
I think with Reece Walsh, there was a video though, wasn't there? There was some, of being arrested or being questioned by police. So that then sort of gave it even more profile. There's no video of this particular one, but I think those tuned in now would be interested just to know how the how it works behind closed doors at the editor's desk and the journalist. If that story, surely you don't have to protect anyone. It's news, go for it. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're having that debate today. David, just one really quick word, but definitely appropriate. The passing of Ian Head yesterday. Dean Ritchie wrote it so well. A superman of journalism. Yeah. Well put.
He did. Yeah, absolutely. Really well written. Terribly sad day for obviously the Heads family. They're a beautiful family, the Heads family. And a sad day for rugby league, because Ian Head's, the impact that Ian Head's, I can't state in the next 30 seconds, because his impact on journalists, on rugby league, on both past and present journalists, his availability to young journalists to help guide them, he was all class. And in what is a very much, it very much can be, a dog-eat-dog world of rugby league journalism, where it's a battle each day to get the back page of the paper, Ian Head's stood above the rest as far as being the most classy, respected individual and journalist that, you know, reading the tributes from people who have been around the game, and i.e. Buzz Rothfield, for as long as Ian Head's, you read what Buzz writes and you see and you can hear, you can listen and you can feel just how much an impact Ian had on, you know, as I said, long-serving journos in the game. And he goes down as a legend. And as you said, Vossi, so well done by the NRL to afford Ian the Hall of Fame induction last year.
All right, David. Well said, David. You have a great day. We'll follow all the breaking news. Teamless Tuesday, of course. Joel and Fletch will have that with a run home, but also on the Telegraph website. Have a good day, mate.
Hey, thanks, boys. Go well.
See you, Dave.
Rubber stamped. Go well. We're here for Brighton's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Brighton's Lawyers, and you can give us a call right now on the Great Southern Bank open line. Brandy, 1300 01 1170, and you're getting the chance of a pretty good prize too, don't you?
Well, you do. You're getting the running to be the Club Med Caller of the Year for your chance to win a trip to Bali worth almost 10 grand. Thanks for making the switch to Sydney's home of sport, SEN, 1170 AM.